Acceptance is a key aspect of spiritual growth, which is seen by most seekers as a quest for enlightenment. Enlightenment, nirvana, and illumination are all different words for basically the same state of mind, the ultimate attainment. But enlightenment doesn't need to be viewed as a mystical, abstract concept. I contend that enlightenment is an absence. It's an absence of fear-based emotions. Zen includes the concepts of reincarnation and karma. One of the primary ways we resolve karma is by rising above our fear-based emotions, such as prejudice, possessiveness, jealousy, hate, greed, blame, resentment, and fears such as fear of responsibility, fear of commitment, fear of intimacy, and even fear of success and failure. All your fear-based emotions are old mental programming that weigh you down. As you learn and grow, you ideally rise above these negative emotions and free yourself, a little at a time, until you learn that beneath the fears is your true self, a compassionate, loving, non-judgmental, trusting soul. According to Zen, there is nothing to seek and nothing to find. You are already enlightened, and all the words in the world will not give you what you already have. So, the wise seeker focuses upon becoming aware of what he already is, of the true self within. But all too often, we accept false self as who we are, while rejecting our true self. The false self is the programmed you that moves through life with conflicts, worry, blame, and resistance. But that's not the real you, not your true self. So the big question is, how do we begin to let go of the false self? How do we let go of our fear-based emotions? Zen advises we develop detached mind. This obviously evolves out of awareness, out of recognition. You can't change what you don't recognize. But once you recognize the value of detached mind, you focus upon what it takes to attain it. And here's a technique to help you get there a little faster. It's called self-observation. Simply by observing yourself, you can attain liberating self-awareness. Life itself is your teacher. The idea is do not resist anything. Just observe it. Observe what is taking place in your life. The moment you resist, you invoke a fear-based emotion. Resistance is a fear-based emotion. And let me repeat again, it is your resistance to what is that causes your suffering. You want circumstances and people to be the way you want them to be, but when they don't live up to your expectations, you resist and suffer as a result. Your false self experiences attached mind, and when you accept the negativity that results from attached mind, you accept the feelings of sadness or anger or envy, and you identify with the feeling. You think you're the feeling, but you're not. You say, "I am angry." You don't separate what you feel from who you really are. You're not the anger. The anger is your past programming. The anger is your false self. Now, self-observation is a way to help you make the distinction. It allows you to depersonalize negative feelings. Instead of saying, "I am angry," say, "It is angry." Instead of saying, "I am frustrated," say, "It is frustrated." Instead of saying, "I am bored," say, "It is bored." and use self-observation to become more aware of your thinking processes in general. If you catch yourself worrying about something, practice detachment by saying, "Oh, well, there's John worrying about how to cram too much into his schedule again." You're not John. You're simply observing John. You're detached from John. Or maybe your name is Susan and you're concerned about how you'll look in your new dress at the club on Saturday night. Catch yourself and say, "Okay, obviously Susan's being insecure about frivolous things again." By refusing to identify with negative feelings, you learn to separate the false self from your true self. And most important, when you detach from a false sense of identity, you detach from the stress it creates in your life. And, as an observer, you begin to program your mind to rise above such negative thoughts in the future. To relate this to computer jargon, it serves you to delete old mental programming, so you have more memory to process important things. And in an attempt to find their true self, many seekers are concerned with ego, that combination of mind and past programming that stimulates your actions and reactions to life situations. The idea that it's necessary to repress the ego from expressions of self-importance has been accepted by many as a spiritual prerequisite. Yet to me, to worry about your ego is the ultimate ego trip. Your ego is what is. To attempt to suppress ego is resistance, and thus you might end up with more ego. Experience what you experience without repressing, and be aware that the more you love yourself, the less you will need to express ego-centered feelings. And here's another important point about ego. Anytime you're expressing ego, you're expressing one of the fear-based emotions. Now think about it. Catch yourself next time. Then explore which of the fear-based emotions is arising within you. Again, if instead of worrying about ego, you work on releasing your fears, you automatically resolve the ego conflict. And speaking of ego, here's another idea that makes some people uncomfortable. With the exception of valid questions or statements of fact, everything you say is to invoke sympathy or to project your importance. Now, this is probably something you'd prefer not to know. Initially, you may not accept it, but use self-observation to monitor your words, and you'll soon learn how true it is. Everything you say is to attain sympathy or to make yourself more important. Knowing this, you'll soon be talking less than you have in the past.